And good afternoon, folks. This is the Over the Fence show here on Reckon Community Radio 98.1 FM and Free FM 89.0 going throughout the Waikato. That's live. If you're listening, you'll be listening on one of those stations on this beautiful day out there, hot. Or if you're listening back, you might be listening to Free FM's podcast or Reckon Community Radio's flash new website podcasting thing or Spotify or something like that. Either way, I hope you enjoy the show. The show being the 100th episode of the Over the Fence show today, folks. Yes, that's right. We've staggered our way here somehow. To celebrate, very shortly, I'm going to be interviewing station manager Aaron Moore about DJing and stuff like that. A little bit, Reglan Community Radio, Reglan Community Radio station manager. There we go. He corrected me. Yes. And so, we'll have a chat to him about the station and if you want to be a DJ, stuff like that. Firstly, while we get ourselves organised, I'm going to play for you a song. Originally a Blind Faith song by Stevie Winwood and Eric Clapton, Can't Find My Home. I played this one because when I started the show, whenever it was, a couple of years ago and a bit or whatever, I used to like to listen to Clint Bradley's show all the time on a Sunday. And I played this on my show one week, and then I was listening to it on the weekend, and I said, oh, this is the best live version of this one, blah, blah, blah. And Clint said, played a different live version, said, this is the best live version, but... Sorry, Clint, this is still the best live version of the song. Can't find my own. Thank you.
that was.
Steve Winwood, Eric Clapton, and a big, big band there playing Can't Find My Way Home. It was live at the Crossroads Festival. That one's for Clint. Now we're joined in the studio by Regular Community Radio Station Manager, Regular Morning Show host, Aaron Moore. G'day, Aaron.
Hey, Craig. How's it going?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm just experimenting with being the guest for an interview and where I might put the microphone. I've been learning some new things.
Yes.
I've only been doing this for 10 years.
So a better angle like that, more comfortable, sort of not so less in the face.
I notice the guests often when we'll go to do the interview, they've never been interviewed before, and just as we're about to go on the air, I shove this thing in their face, and they're a little taken aback. So it's not the best way to get off to a smooth start.
All right, well, discovering you, learning every day, aren't you, Aaron, on the job?
Yeah, I must admit I am. Yeah.
Yes. And this isn't going to the... Yes, there's little problems up there. You're not only a host, you're like a technical guy, Aaron. This broadcast is not going out as far as it usually does because there's something up with the transmitter.
Why are we admitting that? Are we going to admit this on the air?
It's out of our hands.
Out of our hands.
Act of God, kind of.
If you're on Free FM, it's fine.
Yeah, Free FM's all right.
But yeah, on Raglan Community Radio, we're using a backup transmitter right now because something went wrong up the hill at the main one. And... which is up by the cell phone towers, if anyone's wondering. You can't see it. It's not nearly as big as a cell phone tower. But yeah, after this, we've got to go up and have a look and see what might be the problem. But at least we've got the backup. And we're online at reglanradio.com.
Of course. Yes.
I just dropped that in.
I keep forgetting to say that. Yeah.
It's weird doing this without headphones on, I've got to say.
I can give you a beer if you're going to have like a 10 pair on.
No, I'm going to get the full guest interview experience.
Yes.
I think.
Nice, gentle. I'll be gentle with you then, Aaron.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And how long have you been tied up with the station, Aaron?
I started just before my daughter turned one in 2003, so that's 19 years. In fact, she's nearly 21.
Right.
Yeah, but I was a volunteer for a while, and then I disappeared for a while.
Right.
And then 10 years ago, we came and started this job.
All right.
Yeah.
10 years, okay. And how many DJs would you have think? Here's one for you. Get your brain going. How many DJs came and gone in those 10 years, would you say?
Oh, I don't know, man. Like
what, dozens? Hundreds?
Probably over 100. I don't know.
Because at the moment there's 30-odd?
Let's say 100. 100? Yeah, but I don't really know. Mm. We've had quite consistent DJs. Back in the past, we used to have a lot of DJs, but they come and go really fast. We've had quite a few consistent ones. But yeah, quite a lot. And we've got over 30 at the moment, yeah. And just talking to someone yesterday, going to train them up soon for another DJ. So
it's exciting.
So good.
What's their style going to be?
I don't know yet.
All right, figure it out.
Some interviews, definitely some interviews and some music. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I won't say any more because this is the early stages. They might even back out for all I know, just yet.
All right.
Yes.
And so say I want to be a DJ. What do I do? Come and visit Scary Aaron Moore in the studio, do I?
I just was wondering if we were doing this interview because before I answer that question, because maybe you've forgotten how to do a few things and this is like a subtle way of finding out.
No. I'll remember most things. The show usually goes all right.
It usually goes all right.
Usually goes all right. So, but no. I'm not. I haven't got you sitting here. I'm here to talk about the station.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here to talk about.
Yeah. If I were you, I'd turn the microphone a little bit closer towards you.
Like that?
Yeah. That's...
I thought you said turn it the other way around, so like you talk past it. I thought you just said.
Yeah, but you're getting a little bit past it and moving around.
Not the only one to tell me I'm getting a little bit past it, but anyway.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. It wasn't meant to be. Anyway, what was I going to say? How to be a DJ? Yeah, get in touch with me at the station. You can just drop in. Sometimes people do just drop in because I'm here. I do my show till 10, and I usually hang around all morning, most mornings, except for Thursday when Jeff does the Jazz Matez show. So you can just drop in to see me, or you can email me, manager@reglanradio.com, or just go to the website. And or message us on Facebook, all that usual sort of stuff. And then will you tell me more? Tell you more?
Well, let me relay my experience, shall I? I was thinking about it for months and months, and I was like, oh man, it'd be cool to do a radio show.
For months. Well, I should say, like, people often are a bit nervous about it. Oh, I don't know if I can be a DJ. It's really easy.
That was me for sure.
And you don't, I know other DJs have said, oh, my friends and family, like, how did you become a DJ? I just asked. There's no great hurdle to be on Reagan Community Radio. You have to prove anything.
Yeah, the biggest hurdle's taking that first little move towards it. Yeah, because like I said, I was thinking about it for months and months, and I was like, oh man, shouldn't I? I was like, oh nah, probably won't be any good. Blah blah blah, the usual sort of self doubt things that go on in your brain. You know,
we don't worry if our DJs aren't very good. That's all good. That's all fine. But you do. To be honest though, you do get the chance to work on it.
Yeah.
You know, like when I started off, I recorded my first show and I listened to it afterwards and I was horrified because I spoke in a really quiet voice because I was just sitting in a room by myself with all the screens in front of me and quite a small physical space. So I spoke quietly.
Yeah.
And I had to learn how to like big up the voice a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. When I'm in here by myself, everyone needs to learn that a little bit. So, but I got the chance. No one criticized me or told me how to get off the air, but because I wasn't doing it right off the start, you know, I just kept listening to myself and working out what I wanted to sound like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think these shows probably sound better than I did when I first started, probably, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
The first show, actually, I think I forgot to mention before, Jess Hill from Dreamview and Bronwyn are coming down soon anyway to do an interview as well. So, and she was the very first guest I had, and I went to go listen to that show on the archives, Reading Community Radio archives. You can go in there, folks, and there's most shows there. I know I put mine up. You, Aaron?
Yeah. Yep. Everything's archived properly.
There. Excellent.
On the hard drive, too.
But yes.
But you couldn't find it.
Nah, I think I forgot to record it. The interview was there, but no, the whole show wasn't.
No, it's around because I replayed it.
Did you?
Yeah, I played it because I actually wanted to interview Jess myself, and you interviewed her first, so I thought I'll just replay it. So it's at the very least, it'll be in there in one of my old shows too, but I don't want to find it that way. That'll be...
Okay.
It'll be around somewhere.
Yeah, it'll be lurking in the system somewhere. But yeah, it wasn't on the things anyway, but yeah, the interview was anyway.
Great systems we've got here.
very
No, we're relaxed about stuff is the way to put it.
But I remember feeling really nervous and, you know, made a few mistakes, which you always do when you're doing something new, right? But yeah, I'm trying to remember the process. I just came in here, well, you showed me once. Oh, you were sitting here once and I do this, do that. And then
if someone gets in touch, we talk about what they want to do, and I usually say to them, look, it's up to you what you want to do. We're not going to tell you what to do. We're going to tell you what music to play. We want you to bring your thing to it, you know, the thing that you're passionate about, the thing you care about, and create your own show. So once I've convinced people that they can do what they want to do, we talk about when they're going to do it and all that, and then we come in on their first show or maybe an hour before, and when I do the training before the show, and then they can keep doing the show so they remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And the training is pretty basic. I mean, the mixing desk looks a little intimidating,
yep,
but we don't use a lot of it most of the time, and so it's a lot simpler than it looks, and it's just about getting a bit of practice in. And so I'm here the first time you talk on the mic and the first time you play some songs and all that kind of stuff. I'm here to make sure it goes right. Yeah, and once you've kind of got a little bit wired, then I leave you to it.
Yeah, there are lots of dials and flashing lights and things like that, but yeah, you only really, oh man, I'd only use an eighth of them, if that.
Yeah, well, we've got three in use at the moment, two mics, and the most of the sound comes out of the computer, like you're playing songs off the computer. So
it's
simpler than it used to be. When I started, we were still using CDs. There was a little bit of computer music, but that was more like actual DJing where you had to, you know, you'd play the song and then you'd stop it and start the new one, crossfade it and do a bit of that. But nowadays you can just, it's easier.
Okay, well, that's good. Because, I did used to play CDs, actually, now I think about it, back in there when I first started the show. I don't know why I don't now, but I just don't. Maybe I should start again, maybe.
Doesn't really matter.
No, the sound quality is better, I think, now on things like YouTube and that than it used to be.
Mm. Well, CDs are all right. It's tapes that were pretty rough.
Yeah. Look at their own little charm about it, I think, you know, the old tape sort of music. Probably wouldn't want to listen to it all the time, but every now and then.
Yeah, the charm of flat and hissy. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you don't even need I came in with a half baked idea. Oh, hey man, Aaron, I want to try and do like a some sort of farming show, and you're like, oh yeah, sweet as. So yeah, you don't need like, right, this is what I'm going to do, Aaron. This, da 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 da. You sort of, I guess, you just make it up as you go along, I suppose, Aaron, most of the time.
I kind of
not like you do, because I know you're coming prepared, super prepared every day.
Yeah. Craig knows that I don't. Well, but I do it so regularly, right? It's kind of a different kind of preparation. But to start with, I did make it up as I went along. I was a volunteer DJ starting off. I was nervous. I was super nervous on my first show. But after about 4 weeks of doing it once a week, it dawns on you that you're the only person in the room. And the nervousness wears off pretty quickly. Yeah,
it's like that. Yeah, I was nervous for it. You know, I still get a little nervous before a show, I guess.
But, did you do an interview in your first show?
Yeah, straight away.
Yeah, that would have freaked me out. I didn't do interviews for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I still remember the first one I did, like I had all the questions. You see me do interviews now, like I have a few notes scribbled on a piece of paper. I had the questions written out properly, and it was just as well because I kind of was freaked while I was doing it. It seems really funny now, but I was like, I'd ask a question and the guy would answer. It was someone I knew as well. He'd answer it. And then when his voice stopped, I'd clock that his voice had stopped and I'd ask the next question. And that was about, I wasn't listening to what he was saying or anything properly, you know.
Yeah. Just trying to get through your questions.
Yeah.
What was that one about, do you remember?
Oh, that was a band that was going to play in Raglan. It wasn't even the subject matter of normal subject matter of my show.
Yeah.
It was just like I wanted to get into interviews and I thought, oh, yeah, that would be a good thing to do. Do it with someone I know.
Yeah.
Just ask about his band and the music he's going to play.
Yeah.
Nothing complicated.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, luckily I already knew Jess because, I did forget to do stuff when I did the interviews, but flabbergasted.
Yeah, you're probably the only person who's come in and done an interview straight away because that is a lot more challenging because you're supposed to be concentrating. You haven't even worked out how to monitor your own levels, never mind your guest levels, and get prepared for questions. I suppose.
It's complicated. It's not super complicated, but, kind of.
It's really, it's complicated, like riding a bike is complicated in the sense that to start with it's complicated and it's hard, but once you've got it wired, it's mostly okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to encourage people here and not put them off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, once you've got it wired, it's good. But most people don't want to do interviews anyway. They want to bring some music.
Yeah.
So that's all good. That's easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's simple as that, really, isn't it, Aaron? Yeah, you wander in here and do a thing.
There's a charge. Like, you pay $25 to join, because we're an incorporated society, we have members, so you become a member. $25 for the first year, $10 a year after that.
Yeah.
So, and that gets you access to the studio and all this equipment and the transmission. Yeah. And we also show you, and we also teach people how to podcast now, too.
Ah, yes. There's a podcast thing coming up, isn't there? Has that been organised?
It's in the process of being organised. Yeah, we're going to do a podcasting workshop.
All right.
I mean, I'm not sure. We've got a committee meeting tonight. We'll work out whether we're going to do it just for our DJs or if we've got the space to open up for other people as well, because there might be some other people who'd be interested. In fact, I know Katie over at the Environment Centre is interested. I talked to her earlier.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. That'll be a fun one. Yeah. Mm. I'll be looking forward to doing that. Would it be much different to doing this?
The thing with podcasting is you have to promote it.
Right.
Like, we're not going to teach people how to do all the audio stuff because you guys already know how to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what I've taught you, right? That's what the training is that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And you practiced at it. Really the biggest thing with podcasting is you promote it, because if you just put it up on Spotify, I mean, who's going to know it's there? So you got to promote it. But also, there's a way of shaping it differently. Like live radio, we can come on and we can do, how's it going? How's the weather? And everyone's just got their radios on and you kind of casually move into the interview.
Mm.
But when I podcast my interviews, I tend to cut all that fluff off the front of it, because it's a bit more on the, people on their computer and they just want to click and get straight into it a little bit more.
Okay. Well, I don't think I'll do that.
And there's ways of and you would put, often for a radio interview, I'll save the most interesting stuff for last. But for on the online, you would reverse it. You'd do it the other way around because you're trying to keep people listening. Yeah.
I think that's the way I do it. Usually start off, tell us about yourself and things like that, usually, So there's that, then I ask important stuff, and then, it'll either go somewhere or doesn't.
I've made it sound more systematic than I really am. But, like I'm just kind of described the difference. So there's a bit of a difference in, mentally preparing yourself for doing a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Mm.
All right, Aaron. Well, simple as that. That's basically all I wanted to get you on for.
No, should we say about the people on Free FM?
Yes.
If you're listening in Hamilton, don't contact us at Raglan Community Radio. Contact Phil at Free FM.
Yes.
Well, he's the manager there, but he's got a team. He's got staff, unlike me. Contact, if you're in Hamilton area, contact Free FM. They'll set you up for some podcasting.
Right.
And some live. Actually, they don't do their stuff live, I think.
Man, how many DJs have they got?
100? I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's a bit different. But we're doing pretty well for our small population out here in Raglan to have over 30.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
And thank you. While we're talking about Free FM, thank you, Phil, and the Free FM crew for taking the show. over there. I kind of wasn't expecting it, but thank you. I hope some people at least enjoy it over there.
Yeah, a shout out to Mike too, who's the program director who after Craig's done a show, he edits the show, puts it together, and sends it through to Mike, who sits out in the playlist running. So
thank you, Mike.
And he's the poor guy who has to chase us up if we forget or something's gone wrong.
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times, Mike, but I'll do my best. Last week was a little slow, sorry about that. Got chatting, my fault. Oh, actually, there's something else I was going to mention, Aaron. Jordan, who was one of the original DJs, he's on air maybe a few weeks, a few months ago.
Oh, yeah, he came back for a one-off show.
Yeah, did like a six-hour marathon show, which is cool because he played a lot of interesting stuff. But I remember him saying, because it was started at the school, the actual station, before it came down here at the
town. Yeah, it was actually physically in the school property,
Yeah. But he was saying something like, I can't remember exactly, but he because of doing like volunteer, like community radio stuff, he ended up like getting an actual career out of it.
Yeah, for a long time he worked in the media in Australia. I can't quite remember the details. Yeah, he's not doing it now, but he did do that for a while. And it's like you see the fancy commercial radio DJs, and a lot of them have come from, or they came from like student radio back in the day, like Marcus Lush.
Yeah.
So it's the chance.
I remember listening to him on my BFM. Because
you don't come fully formed as like a celebrity radio host, and so for a lot of those people will have started off. John Campbell was on Radioactive in Wellington, I think, when he was a student.
Oh, really?
So they get their start doing that, and you iron out all the wrinkles and things like that, and then move on to other things potentially.
So yeah, there's opportunities there, and it's fun. It's a great crew too. While I'm paying my dues, big thanks to Raglan Community Radio crew. They're a good, fun, sort of very diverse mob, but yeah, always have. Have fun. We have little get-togethers every 3 months or something usually.
We'll have a Christmas thing at the end of the month, probably.
It's fun, and you get to meet some really interesting people as well who are into different stuff. And I must say, you also expand your how much music you listen to, I think, too. Because when you're doing, well, I don't play heaps of music, but I'll play a bit of music, but you kind of, to stop boring yourself and your listeners, I guess, to a certain extent, you got to expand out your
go
music.
Go looking for music.
Find new music, you know?
Yeah, I probably
would have
stopped.
Which is always cool, you know?
At this stage, I probably would have stopped looking for new music. Well, not like when I was in my 20s anyway, but yeah, because I'm on every day, I've got to keep getting new music.
So where do you get all that stuff that you play? I know the New Zealand stuff comes through to you on playlists or whatever.
Hey, Jess.
Hey, Jess, come in.
I don't have time to indulge like I used to when I was young, but I know that if I go to Triple J FM is always in Australia, they're always a good source of music.
Right. Yeah.
You can Google music lists that people have done in the genre that you're looking for. So, kind of do that. I need to find shortcuts. And Triple J FM, they're like a government-run youth station in Australia, and the way they choose their music is the DJs and managers have a meeting every week, and they kind of argue passionately about which music should go on the playlist the next week, which is way different than a commercial operation where they're like, okay, this one should bring us a listener in this demographic and this, that kind of approach. I really like that, and they bring up a lot of interest in new music.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might actually bring that up at the meeting tonight then, Aaron, because maybe the DJs, whoever wants to, should debate what goes on the morning show. You've got to work out.
No, I'm in charge of my show. We don't tell you what to play on your show. And that's a real important part of the station, is the DJs do get to play the music they want to play.
Yeah, it's not sweary ones at 8:30, before 8:30.
Yeah,
whatever,
the watershed at 8:30. That seems to be a thing we follow. Yeah.
All right. Very good then, Aaron. And while you're here, thank you for running the station. You do a good job.
Oh, thank you.
I do enjoy listening to the morning show. Yeah. And keep up the good work, and thanks for coming on, Aaron. Appreciate it.
No worries.
Anything else you want to add while we're on about this?
No, I think I'm done. I'll hand over to Jess now, who's waiting to be interviewed.
Yes. It's a simple. Oh, actually, you wanted to. Did you have a story with a song you wanted to play or something? Didn't you, Aaron?
Oh, what song were we going to play?
You wanted a Bob Marley one. What was that one? I'll play that.
It's on the auto DJ program. It was just because when I first started listening to the station 20 years ago, there seemed to be an awful lot of Bob Marley on the station.
Okay.
It seemed to dominate the random playlist. So this is Could You Be Loved.
Hey, Robert.
Craig's going to play.
This goes out to Aaron, station manager, who's kindly joined us today. So, simple as that. You want to be a DJ, just get a hold of Aaron. He's not as scary as he sounds on the radio, and trot into the studio, and it's fun. Fun little hobby. So I encourage anyone listening who wants to do that one. Here's Bob Marley and the Wailers with Could You Be Loved for Aaron, and we'll be back after that. Thank you. Was Bob Marley in the Wailers there, Could You Be Loved? And now I'm going to play for you a bit of a forgotten New Zealand classic, actually, one called By World Gone Wild. I think it came out in the early 90s, called Shosh Eye Jenny. This might ring a few bells for a few years. And we come back with Jason Bronwyn Hill from Dreamview after this one.
I had a dream
right, that was Will Gone Wild with Shy Shy Jenny there. I hope you enjoyed that one. Bit of a New Zealand, I didn't actually realise it was a New Zealand song, but it is. And we've actually been chatting about other stuff, so we haven't really talked about what we're going to talk about next. So I'm going to play another song. This one goes out to Mike at the community house. I asked him for a request, and he wanted another New Zealand band, The Straw People. And this song here called, where did I see that? I forgot the name of it, Mike. I've got it written down though, haven't I? Yes, Sweet Disorder. So that's what we're going to play. This one goes out to Mike. And all the good people up there at the community house, if the wireless is still going up there, hope you're enjoying the show. Here we go, Straw People, Sweet Disorder.
Everybody's sleeping under my skin, never quite believing, and so it begins. Someone gets elected and a satellite falls. Are we reaching some conclusions or just talking to the wall?
Sweet Emotion by, Sweet Disorder, sorry, by Straw People. And now we're joined in the studio by Jess Hill and Bronwyn Hill from Dreamview Farm in Creamery. Welcome.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you both in here.
Yeah, well, it's lovely to be here too.
It's such a beautiful day out there, isn't it?
Yeah, very exciting that it's your 100th episode.
Yes, that's right. You were in here on my very first episode, Jess, yep. I remember very well. That was... I remember we were just talking about how nervous I was and fiddling forgetting the staff and do. Actually, went to go find that show to see what music I played on it, but I must have forgot to record it. But yeah, the interview's still there, but not the rest of the show. But it'll be floating around somewhere. Aaron might be able to dig it out, but yeah, will he be bothered? Probably not. But yeah, not? Might be there somewhere still.
Yeah, we've just been telling Craig how cool and calm and collected he is. You see, And then he thought back to his first show.
Well, first few, yeah. First
he was really freaking out that first show.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. But yeah, it was like any practice, you know.
Yeah. After 100 times, you get pretty good.
For sure, so, yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you, Bob.
We were just talking too about how amazing your show is. And I was like complimenting you on how hard you've worked on this.
Thank you, Bob.
There's an awful lot of work that goes in behind the scenes, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. I really enjoyed it. It's I keep in touch with the headlines, you know, Primary Sector headlines that way. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't bother. And I love like the weather and moon stuff and things like that. Yeah. Will I get a chance to do any of that today? Probably not, but maybe. It's just fun. I get to meet a lot of interesting chat to a lot of interesting people, and it's just great. Yeah,
that's cool. But it's quite a big task to find someone to try and interview every week, so, isn't it?
It can be hard. Yeah, it's been actually quite good lately for some reason. But sometimes it's just nothing for weeks. So
yeah,
I've got to make up something to talk about.
Yeah, but I must say, Raglan's full of very talented, interesting people.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, anyway, yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
And because I suppose we've expanded out a bit now. I think about it. It used to be just kind of agriculture, but now I think do a few gardening things and stuff like that as well. And fisheries. We had your flatmate, of course, on last week. Jess, she was very good, very interesting person.
Sounded like she enjoyed herself.
Excellent. That's good to hear. She sounded after she sounded keen to come back again. So listen back to that one, Julie. Jacobowski, cool last name too.
Yeah.
Oceanographer. Cool. I actually drove past just on that one. I was coming to town and I saw a bunch of kids and a few adults lined up along the side of things. So it must have been the dropping the oranges off thing.
She said they. I said, did they enjoy it? And she said, well, they did it, so they must have enjoyed it. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's good.
Have they found out where the oranges went or whatever yet?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. They did make a whole bunch of graphs and stuff, but I never actually asked her what the outcome
was.
Active science,
Totally.
But anyway, we're here to talk about Dreamview and UFOs anyway. I can't remember exactly when it was. It was maybe two and a bit years ago or something, the first show. I probably should have looked it up, shouldn't I, but didn't. So what's changed? Oh. Up at Dreamview, heaps.
It's weird to think back and like try and remember what happened 2 years ago.
Yes.
But I guess the biggest difference biggest change we have is that we've got a new creamery now, a new factory.
Big, beautiful new building.
It certainly beats the 20-foot shipping container that we were in beforehand.
Yeah, it looked kind of pokey in there, I remember.
It was a little squashed and very hot.
Yeah. Very hot, yes. Yeah.
We had to squeeze past each other. It was, quite awkward.
There was usually three of us working in that little space, and now we've got, 200 square metres? 200 square metre building.
Big building.
It is a big building.
Yeah.
But it's great. We have plenty of space and we have a lunchroom and I even have an office, which is exciting.
Cool.
All the bells and whistles. Yeah. So
bathroom even.
And a bathroom. We used to have to go home to the houses to go to the bathroom.
It's a big advantage.
So that's cool new development. And I'm trying to think staff-wise, how many extra staff would you have now compared to a bit years ago?
We probably would have a few.
We've doubled easy, probably, wouldn't
we? Easily tripled. Yeah. But,
tripled even?
No, only doubled.
Oh, from 2 years
I'm trying to think who was there. There was Shannon, of course, Coda.
Mirren was still there.
You two.
Ferguson Barney working with me on the farm.
That's right.
And Glenn
was there.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't quite there then, maybe. Or was he? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember if he was quite there then or not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
But no, anyway, he's there or thereabouts.
So staff, it's definitely got bigger. Delivery trucks, we've probably got maybe at least two more since.
How many in the black and white fleet now are there, Jess?
There's six. Whew. Black and white fleet. They all have names.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and they're all named after, our drivers have all named them.
Right.
Because a lot of them were from overseas, so they named them correlating to where they're from.
Where they come from.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I know one's called Daisy. That's kind of the only one I remember. Rosie. I can't remember that.
The first two trucks were named by us, so.
Yes.
Right.
Floss was the first one, was our one of the first pet cows that we had when we moved up to that farm, and we kept her
23 years ago.
And then the next one was one of our favourite little calves, wasn't it?
The year that we started Dream
U. Yeah, called Rosie. And then after that, the other trucks, we let the drivers name that were driving those particular trucks. And depending on what part of the world they came from, they got all different names from
that's cool.
relating to where they drivers came from. So
when did you and David first go up there? Do you remember, Brian?
Oh, just talking about that, weren't we, Jess? Jess was three. So 23 years ago.
23 years ago.
Jess was three and the twins were one.
All right.
Matt and Kathy.
Ideal time to move somewhere.
Yeah. It was a bit crazy.
But it's beautiful farm up there. Lovely views.
Absolutely.
It is a beautiful
view.
Spot.
Hence the name Dreamview.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
You've got the same view where you live, pretty much.
Gondom, pretty much. Just over the ways,
That's right.
Absolutely, that's lovely up there, and it's, good. You're far enough out of town, but you're close enough, you know. It doesn't take long to get to town, but then you know, it's proper country sort of living, you know. I love it up there.
It's really lovely.
But all right. And so, okay, you've got heaps more trucks, you've got heaps more staff. You've got a big new building. Same amount of cows.
Same amount of cows.
Same amount of cows.
But I suppose in the last couple of years, you were only calving once, weren't you? Now, you're calving, three times?
Three times.
Yes.
That's a big change.
Yeah. That has been a really big change, actually, that whole management of making sure we have milk all year round now. We can't have, the cows dry off for, 6 weeks like we would have used to, you know, over
Just talk a bit closer on your microphone, please, Brian.
Sorry.
I can't reach you over there. That was
so basically, that's taken quite a bit of time to change.
Yeah, think what happened. Yeah, it's a slow process, isn't it?
It is a slow process, You can't just, doesn't just happen overnight. And we haven't bought any new stock. We've just slowly moved our existing stock, some of them at least, onto autumn calving rather than spring.
And when's the third one? Is that February or something?
Oh, December, January, third calving.
Is that this year or next year?
This year. We just really hope that no one calves on Christmas Day. Come on, guys, just wait until after Christmas Day.
And something else happened, Kathy.
Oh yeah,
Your sister and your daughter, of course, Brian. She's back on the property now. She's doing farm management stuff now.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's managing the farm now, and then I manage the creamery, and
it's been an absolute amazing thing for us to have our family home doing these things. It's amazing. So, first of all, Jess, with all the passion and the absolute dedication that she brings to the job.
And the skills and the wiliness to make it all happen.
It's just hard work. And then Kathy comes along and takes over. Well, first of all, she started working in the creamery, but she's not an inside girl.
All right.
She hated being inside. So she's taken over managing the farm, and, man, what a wonderfully amazing manager she is.
All right.
So we can just, you know, she's got everything really well sorted.
Excellent.
And she works with a few cool people, including you at times, Craig, and you come in and do your thing too. And then, of course, our son, Matt, he was part of the group of engineers that designed the building. That was his first job out of uni.
Cool.
So it is the whole family have really been involved in setting it up, which is really cool.
He's coming back in a week or two to go and spray some weeds or something too, isn't it?
Yes, he is.
I'm so excited for him to come home.
He's going to work on the farm for a couple of months, and then he's off to England to work. He's got a job over there.
Fair enough.
So that's pretty exciting. We'll have him home for a while.
It's interesting when you think about it. It doesn't seem long, but it's actually been a lot kind of happening those 2 years.
A lot has happened.
I suppose you wouldn't be able to know you might, Jess, off the top of your head, probably, or you might be able to estimate. I wonder how many customers you went from, maybe 2 years ago to, now, I wonder.
I can guesstimate how many litres we've sold between.
Oh, there we go,
That's what I strive for. Actually, even customers, we probably would have had about 1,000, just over 1,000 customers. And now we're close to 3,000 customers. Litres, we're just doing about 6,000 litres a week at the moment, and we're probably doing about 4,000 litres back 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 5,000. Yeah.
It's a big jump.
It is a big jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Well, that was just perfect timing, really, with the new creamery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it was, because we just couldn't grow any bigger in our little 20-foot shipping container. So,
yeah. I'm trying to remember. I think you might have been going to maybe one or two, like, Binnens or something in Hamilton a couple of years ago, but now you're all over town.
Yeah, I don't know if we were going to Tauranga 2 years ago either, but...
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so, no.
We might have just started, but yeah, we now go to Tauranga twice a week.
Yeah.
And, Hamilton 6 times a week. And yeah, we go to a whole bunch of different, whole food stores and greengrocers and butchers and supermarkets.
And like little deli type, or specialty type stores.
So, it keeps us busy.
Some small supermarkets, but no big supermarkets.
Right.
Yeah, it does keep us busy. And then the raw milk side of it is definitely... Well, we're one of the few people that do that, actually. Mm. Not many other people actually do that. And that actually takes a lot of to tick all the right boxes for MPI to do that.
A lot of paperwork.
Yeah. A lot of work. Yeah. Oh, it's okay. Once you get, we've been doing it for long enough now that it kind of is just...
It takes longer in the shed, of course, too. You got to do the special things and clean up the teats properly.
A lot more. A lot more careful with how we clean and
disinfect. It's great. I wouldn't have it in now. I love raw milk, yeah.
Exactly.
It's so good.
And that's grown a lot in the last few years as a raw milk.
Great.
It has, actually, yeah.
And
the pasteurised, the trim and cream.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of people that like, especially around Hamilton, heaps of people that drink
trim milk. Kind of fans, even at home. No taste,
I think it's funny when customers buy like a bottle of trim and a bottle of cream. I'm like, why don't you just buy the full cream milk? And you get, I mean, obviously they're using it for different things, just makes me laugh.
And you got a new product as well. Motion of coming out, or is it officially on the go?
Well,
or
it
just
kind
about?
Of is officially now. We just need to like.
Let me guess, more paperwork.
Yes, more paperwork.
I've Jess has been working
done
hard
all
on
the
that.
Paperwork.
How many hours? I had a guess how many hours we just do just for like the yogurt paperwork to get that sort of reading.
A week.
Well, actually, in my. Actually, I can't really take. Mum did most of it.
And we did.
We were able to steal a lot of work that we'd already done for our pasteurised milk from it.
Oh, some of it doubled up.
But still a decent amount of time, a solid 3 or 4 days. And also mixed in with a lot of procrastinating as well.
Or
getting distracted by other things that are more important at the time.
And understanding what they want you to tell them.
It's
diabolical.
Is it all only Ministry of Primary Industries? Or are there other crowds you got to do paperwork for or whatever?
No, just them. So we have, they have external auditors that a different company that comes and audits us for them, on behalf of them.
Right.
Hmm.
So we...
That's every, month or whatever? Or?
It's every year. It's actually every year for our pasteurised milk, and we'll be there for the yogurt, and then every 2 years for raw milk.
Okay, sweet.
It used to be a lot more frequently, but now that we've been going longer, they've... extended it out because they know we're sort of following the procedures. So they're letting us...
Being rewarded for your good deeds kind of thing.
I think so, yeah.
That's good news.
The audits are amazing. Like, they are a full day, non-stop.
Yeah.
Non-stop, the whole day, just sitting down with this
Look at the shed,
person.
Look at the thing, look at the that.
Yeah, the paperwork more than anything.
Right,
so much paperwork.
So many folders worth of paperwork.
And they
test you on all sorts of things, and they choose a day, and they say, show me this, and show me that, show me that you've done this, and show me that you've done that. it's like an exam for a whole day.
All right, I think it's like that in a lot of industries now. The paperwork is more and more of it everywhere.
It is like that
Anyway, the yogurt. How much are you making?
Exactly. We've just been kind of playing around with it up until now. And now
I've been to guinea pig a couple of times. It's delicious.
Yeah, you said you put it in your smoothies, eh?
I do put it in my smoothies.
Still need to make your smoothie recipe, Craig.
I'll drop you one off tomorrow when I make one. How's
deal.
That,
it's just like a natural Greek kind of style yogurt, not any flavors yet, but the my favorite part about it, other than the fact that it's like seriously delicious, I was spooning some out onto my breakfast this morning and I was like, man, this is good. Like, this is just so good. Yeah. And but the coolest part is that it's in glass, obviously. Mm. But when you think about it, there's not really any dairy yogurt in the supermarkets that are in glass. Like, all the coconut yogurt is in glass.
Yeah.
But there's not really many other dairy yogurts.
Actually, you're right. All the plastic ones, the Fonterra ones and everything, the smaller little ones.
No, it's great because we just sterilize the bottles and reuse them, and so we get bottles back all the time and send them out again. So imagine how much plastic that's saving.
It's
incredible, really, when you think about it.
That's right.
And it's going to be the
especially
same.
Especially those little, the six pack, the little bottle ones. Well, those big ones, slightly different. Yeah, still leaves of plastic, but those little individual little ones or whatever. Yeah. Heaps of plastic in those.
But the good thing about it, too, is that, well, we know that there's absolutely nothing at all added to it other than milk and the yogurt culture.
Yep.
So no additives, no sugar,
someone
nothing.
Asked me if there was sugar in it the other day.
But there's nothing. So it's basically just so.
So it has to be pasteurized for the yogurt, or?
Yeah.
It does.
But it actually, when you make it, it kind of, that part of the process is sort of the heating it up part. And so you kind of ultimately pasteurise it then anyway.
So it's exciting,
it's really exciting.
It's been fun.
We'll put it and we'll, like, I hope I've just got to actually just the other day I emailed Foodstuffs and sort of said I want to put the yogurt in Foursquare and the other Foursquares that we supply. So I haven't heard back from him yet, but as soon as I do, it'll be in Foursquare down here.
All right.
And it's on the website for orders.
You'll be delivering it now?
We're delivering it. So you can order it for whatever order you've got. And
And then hopefully we might do a flavour.
The plan.
I did when you were mucking around with I did try your vanilla bean.
You liked the vanilla bean, didn't you?
That was lovely. That was nice.
I
tried the berry one, but I hear that was delicious too.
And I also made a passion fruit at one stage.
Oh yeah,
just for fun, and we just ate it out the staff, all of our staff.
Fair enough.
Took it home and was like, oh. Okay. So it was kind of cool.
Well, that's cool, I mean, you can expand that. There's lots of different ways out of the yoga, don't you? Once it sort of gets going and going well, you know?
Absolutely.
And then everyone always asks, so when's your cheese coming?
When's your cheese coming, Jess?
Good question. It's been coming soon on the website for the last 5 years.
We were talking about the very first interview of the show, is cheese coming?
We thought we would, I thought we would have done it before we did yogurt, actually, because we were, like, mum loves doing it. And it's so delicious, but it's like a whole nother another ball game. Like a whole lot of extra equipment and time
And regulatory stuff that we'll have to do.
Whereas yogurt was much easier. We kind of had the equipment that we needed there. We just needed the culture to do it.
What do you do to make like sour cream?
Yeah, I know a few of our customers make sour cream.
Yeah, someone was telling me. I don't think it's all that difficult.
Not really.
I've never actually tried it, but someone was saying,
you just have to acidify the milk, I suppose.
So you go in that way, and cottage cheese, I don't know what the process is there, but,
It's different. Well, they're all a little bit different, aren't they? Different temperatures, different types of, sometimes they have a lemon juice or a vinegar or something like that, which, that's like for ricotta or something, you just
I suppose if you use like lemon juice or whatever, that'd like curd a little.
It does.
There's so many options.
There's so many options. I mean, it would be amazing to do it. It really would.
I hear people shouting down the radio, when's the next batch of chocolate milk coming out, Jess?
True.
This is a good question.
So it was the Easter treat, the last one came out, wasn't it?
Easter treat. Yeah, I think so.
Treat for the fans.
I reckon. We were supposed to do Labour Weekend was what I wanted to do, but then it kind of just came and went, and I was like, oops.
It's a bit like that this year, isn't it?
Very much so.
It's gone so
fast. November already.
Yeah. It's crazy. And our Mike's up there with us too.
Mike from Raglan Chocolate.
Yeah. I'm sure he won't mind us chocolate. Sharing. Hopefully doesn't mind.
But he's building his new chocolate making space up there, which is really exciting.
It's so cool. Oh, it smells amazing up there now. Because he's bought all his noisy grinding equipment up a while ago and set that up in our old shipping container, in our old creamery, which is a shipping container. And when you're milking the cows now, you get these wafts of chocolate coming through.
There's a pipe that used to, the milk used to run from the cow shed to the old creamery.
Yeah.
So there's a pipe still there that leads from the old creamery into the cow shed, and so it's literally like funneling chocolate smell into the cow shed, which is like the best,
it
but also really
good,
weird.
It?
Like,
yep. It's very cool.
Ah, cow poo. Yeah, come over. Oh, chocolate.
Yeah, exactly.
What a combination. Experience.
Yeah.
And then, so that's exciting. We're really excited about him being there.
And hopefully Lars won't mind us sharing, but Lars from Raglan Gelato is also moving up to make his gelato. So Mike will move out of our old creamery and Lars will move in there. So we'll have a whole little food hub, which is, really cool.
That's really, really cool. You could, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that, there's always not enough space in town, eh? You know?
Yes.
To do
absolutely.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Might have to build another big massive shed, you guys.
It's just like lovely to have them there. I mean, it's so exciting for us too because, well, especially Mike at the moment, he's so excited and passionate about what he's doing. And it's so cool to see that. Yeah. So, it's lovely. Well, lovely to be there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else has been happening out there. What is it? It's half past. Anyway, I better kind of wrap it up soon. anything else you guys want to say?
Well, we just want to say a massive, huge thank you to Raglan Community. Without you guys, we couldn't have done this, really. And we're extremely grateful, always will be, so grateful for your support and getting on board, I guess.
Yeah, and our awesome staff.
Absolutely. The staff have been, we've had some fantastic staff. We've still got fantastic staff and very appreciative.
It's always interesting going over there from all over the world too, eh?
Totally. And it's just and if we ever have someone new start, I'm always like, welcome to the family, because it's just like a big family and we.
That's right. Yeah, that's how it feels up there too. You guys made a nice atmosphere up there for people,
Have cake on people's birthdays and.
Well, you've also moved into your own house too, Jess. That's something that's happened the last 2 years.
That's true.
That
was exciting. Moving it.
Moving through the paddocks down the hill on the back of a truck.
Yeah, that was
down a very steep hill and up a very steep hill.
Like, did I have insurance for that? I hope so. As it sat halfway up
really
the hill overnight while they when they came back. So it's certainly a work in progress, but I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love the character of it. And it's just very, very lucky.
For sure. Yeah, it's a lovely old place. From the outside, anyway, I'll have to come around and have a cup of tea or something one day.
Games night.
Yes, game night. We'll do that. One of these Sundays.
Definitely.
All right.
One quick thing I just remembered.
Yes.
It's put a plug in for everybody. Please, now that it's getting so hot, get your chili bins and cooler bags out. For when we put your milk out for you. Because I hate putting milk out and, on a hot day, I was delivering milk in Hamilton yesterday and it was a few places I went to that I left it there and I was like, I don't want to leave milk here because I hadn't put a chili bin out.
Yeah,
and it's really important from now on, I think, that everyone remembers that.
Very good advice. Yeah. Yes. anything else to add?
Probably not. Well, hopefully we'll just keep keeping on up there.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll still be there and everyone's, of course, always welcome. We have lots of people now that come up and get bits of milk because they're making cheese at home, which is so cool. Mm.
Yeah.
There's lots of people that have been doing cheese classes, like Gabrielle's doing cheese classes with halloumi and people around the town making their own bits of cheese, and they come back and so excited about what they've made, and we love that. So we're very, very happy for anyone to come up if they want to get milk to make things. Just give us a bell and come on up.
Right on.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
And you do like a few tours and that too, eh, Jess, up there?
Yeah, I love that. Well, a few weeks ago we had 45 6 and 7 year olds when they arrived.
That was fun.
I was like, what have I done? Like, this is way too many kids.
Yeah.
But actually, no, teachers were amazing and it was really cool.
Teachers were amazing. The parents were amazing at helping, I guess.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love it. That's what it's all about for me, is like educating people on farming and what we do. And So I want to get into that more and more, especially with the different like the gelato and the chocolate coming up as well.
I think it's particularly interesting. I do bang on about this bit, but yeah, the urban kind of rural divide, it's kind of probably worse than ever. You know,
I could bang on about this forever too.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be like that. I mean, and you know, there's still a lot of anti kind of farmer rhetoric around,
and a lot of misinformation,
things that people
read that that's come out on something and they think it's true, but.
Yeah.
Come and talk to people about it instead of just jumping to conclusions, and you know, just find out what really happens before you, you know,
absolutely,
make judgments. I feel, because you know, all we're trying to do is the best by everything, really, our environment, our animals, and everything around us, and people.
And you wouldn't find two more lovely people to talk to either, ladies and gentlemen, than Bronwyn and Jess.
Thank you, Craig.
Very lovely, nice, warm, empathetic people.
We have some lovely chats, actually, don't we?
Don't
we? We really do. We have some deep, meaningful chats.
I like that.
It's very interesting. It's
anyway, good. I better wrap it up. It's kind of, I'll get this edited and send off to our friends at Free FM. So thanks very much for coming in, Bronwyn.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been really cool.
Yeah, first time in the studio. Yes,
Jess invited me to come, either. So I was like, "Okay,
You sure you want me,
Craig? Invited?
I talk so much normally.
I've tried to be restrained today, Jess.
I said to Mum, "I've got. I'll look at you if you."
Shush, Mum, stop talking. I don't think I've had too many looks yet.
No, it's all been good. Yeah. Thank you for coming in again, Jess.
No problem.
This is the 100th show after the very first guest.
So proud.
Will there be a 200th? Probably not, but you never know.
Of course he will. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You have to keep going. You've got it so well sussed here. I'm just so impressed.
Sometimes. All right. Well, thanks again, guys. Really appreciate you coming in. I know you're both really busy, so thanks again. And
no worries.
Well, you know, whenever the next thing comes out or whatever, we'll get you back on again.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. And we need to drag Kathy here.
Oh, yes. Let's get Kathy on.
Somehow.
Well, have a chat about stuff.
She's not really into public speaking, but you never know.
Maybe we
could record her on the farm.
Yes, I do have a microphone at home
now. That would be a cool idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I do have a microphone. Yeah. I could do that, But yeah, still might freak her out. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll work on it anyway. Cool. All right. Thanks, guys. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And I'll be back again next week. I don't think I've got a guest lined up yet, but we'll figure something out between now and then. Oh, actually, I was going to do a public service announcement, but we'll get to that soon. So I'll come back and do that after this one. But yes, thank you for listening to the show. On Free FM, thank you for taking the show over Free FM. Really appreciate that. And Mike will send you through this when it's done, like me and Aaron were talking about earlier. All right, I'm going to play A Golden Sound to go out, and I'll come back for the Raglan Community Radio listeners with some public service announcement I'll get through. All right, folks, that was David Kilgore with... Oh, I'm still recording, aren't I? Whoops-a-daisy. That's all right. So that was David Kilgore there with Golden Sound. Now it's public service announcement time here on the Over the Fence Show. Running a bit late today, but Harry's not going to be in today. He's in Australia. Just got to answer the... You want to talk to Aaron? Oh, anyway, it's distracting me. Yes, the upcoming things, the Te Tiriti o Waitangi Understanding the Treaty Workshop's coming up. That's this Saturday, actually, the 5th. So that's going to be here in the Town Hall in the Supper Room. Where's the first one with last week's guest, Julian? Yeah, the lunch is delicious, and it's actually way more interesting than I thought it would be. And so, yep, getting along to that one. That's, I think it's pretty much all day, 9 till 4 or something. But, yeah, a day well spent. Also, the Raglan Old School Arts Centre is a monster garage sale fundraiser from Sunday. That's the Sunday from 10 till 2, 5 Stewart Street, Raglan. Is that the church? Yes. Hi. 5 Stewart Street, anyway. Well, it might be the old school, yeah, down there anyway, yeah. I think they're starting to pick up stuff from tomorrow, maybe? Yeah, delivered 2nd to the 5th, so that's today, isn't it, the 2nd? Yeah, so yes, yeah, today, so they want pre-loved books, garden items, plants, clothing, household items, bric-a-brac, art, baking, preserves, and more. Quality donations, good, could be delivered between today and the 5th. 10 to 2 at the old school. No electrical goods, DVDs or CDs. More information on that one, you can contact Jacqueline, or email is jacqueline@raglanartscentre.co.nz or 825-0023. It's 825-0023 for further information on the old school Monster Garage sale fundraiser. So there's that one. The Raglan Arts, the RAFFAs, the famous Raglan Art Film Festival Awards, present a night of glamour, a 2022 red carpet evening on Saturday 19th November. It's coming up. 5:30 that'll be, Thursday 10, Friday 18th November, Kohar entry, a lot of sponsors there, and the number to ring for more information about that one is 825-0023, it's 825-0023, and of course you can find more about all of these things on Raglan Community Radio's comprehensive What's On Guide, all these things, and there's a couple other things I was going to say too, while I'm prattling on still. Yes, Surfing Farmers, that's right. That starts again on the 23rd of November. I've got a hold of Maddie Kirk, and that's starting again. We're going to see you out there one day, Jess?
Maybe.
Or down there?
I suck at surfing so much. Maybe.
Well, it's lessons, and it's lessons and all that.
Oh, is
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the whole thing, yeah. You get like a weddy, and you get the, like, either Green Wave or Raglan Surf School or whatever. They alternate week to week, so.
That's really cool,
actually.
Yeah,
so it's
cool,
like lessons in that, so, yeah.
I'll come with you one time, Craig.
All right, Jess. Okay. You're on.
Deal.
So, yeah. So, yeah, that starts 23rd of November. We'll have a little chat before Maddie Kirk before then, so that's about 3 weeks away, but chuck that in the diaries. And it's Aroha Stand, just out in the front here of the entranceway to the Town Hall, and, seeds, seasonal seeds out there, all locally grown seed. You just go in there, fill up your potting mix. They've got potting mix there and punnets. Fill that up. Chuck some seeds in, take them home, give them water, and there you are. I was having a little scratch through before, and I got some beautiful old heirloom varieties of this and that there. I'm going to take some seeds home with me today, actually. So that is there. And the Growers Market, of course, on Friday nights from 5 till 7. I went to the one last week, and it was good. Good selection of veggies and again, seedlings and things like that. And a couple of places you can get dinner and that as well there if you want. And I think... Oh, yeah, did I say Science Nights? I can't remember. Science Nights, anyway, through the Whangaroa Environment Centre. But have a look on there. There's one this month, one next month. So check out their website for more information on that and other stuff happening over there. And I think I'll leave it there, folks. I feel like I've been prattling on for hours. So I'm going to leave you with the chills. House with 100 rooms. Enjoy your afternoon. And, yes, it's certainly getting warm out there, folks. So thanks for listening. And back here next week. Ka kite. Thunder warm, winds blow. There are never those cane trees known. And fresh summer shade where the leaflets go. But the stand is still in twilight blue. By my house, there's 100. That was the Chills House with Under Rooms, and now we're going to play a special request for Jess, a song called Chicken Fried by Zac Brown. All right, you want to tell us about this one, Jess?
Oh gosh, this is like my uni years. Me and my friends would, if it ever came on, we'd jump up out of our rooms and like just have a giant dance party in the corridor, and then go back to studying. So,
all right, there we are, Chicken Fried.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Up beneath the shade of a Georgia pine, and that's home, you know. Sweet tea, pecan pie, homemade wine, where the peaches grow. In my house, it's not much to talk about, but it's filled with love that's grown in southern ground, and a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, I like to see sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child, and know a mother's love. It's funny how it's the little things in life that mean the most, not where you live, what you drive, or the price tag on your clothes. There's no dollar sign on a peace of mind, this I've come to know. So if you agree, have a drink with me, raise your glasses for a toast to a little bit of chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child, and know a mother's love. God for my life, for the stars and stripes, may freedom forever fly, let it ring, salute the ones who die, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of a precious child, and know a mother's love. Get your little chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, I like to see the sunrise, see the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of my precious child, and know a mother's love.